Amen. Father, I thank you for our worship. Thank you for the scripture that's just been shared. Thank you for your living word, Father, that's just been read to us. Thank you that we've been able to come to you this morning to worship in spirit and in truth, to sing our thanks to you, to remember Jesus. We thank you so much for that already this morning, Father. Thank you that we're now going to gather around your word. Thank you for these scriptures we're about to pore over. Thank you for literally your breathed word to us this morning. We thank you for your word. We thank you that it is the agent for permanent change in our lives. Thank you that through this amazing word, through understanding, we can renew our minds, we can be transformed, be changed in this life. So we thank you, Father, for these words. Thank you for the seeds you're about to plant. We speak our understanding in Jesus' name, understanding so that seeds are not stolen, understanding so that they can germinate and grow and produce the fruit that we all desire in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Welcome if you're joining us online or if you're watching later. Good to have you with us. This morning, I am working my way through 1 Thessalonians, an epistle in my Bible that was quite clean until recently. Now getting a bit more dirty on the pages. My greasy fingers are pouring over them. Working my way through this epistle, and I was kind of chatting to Paul last week about what I've been teaching on recently. And I kind of realized that this is almost turning into a kind of manual for ministry. You know, we're seeing what Paul and his team did. We're kind of looking to see what he did do, see what he didn't do. And then we can kind of follow him. So in a sense of follow that Greek word that we looked at earlier, we can mimic, we can imitate Paul. Remember, Paul said, follow me and follow the Lord. And if we mimic Paul, imitate Paul, we are then, in a real sense, mimicking Jesus and imitating Jesus. Because Paul mimicked Jesus, imitated Jesus. And I keep going on about us being on this long continuum, this long line of saints. And one of our responsibilities is to pass this on for the saints to come. But we can follow Paul. Doing that, we're following Jesus. And we got up to verse 8 in chapter 2. So I only managed to do one verse this week. But it's quite a verse. I only managed to look at one verse in preparation for this week. And you guys know sometimes I'll stand up here before I preach. I give what I call a health warning. So I'm going to give you a health warning this morning. You know, like Pastor Vic's sermons come with a health warning. As I say quite often, hear my heart in this sermon. I don't like to skip verses, even if they're difficult. This is not me having a go at the fellowship. This is not me having a go at anyone in particular. Do you all hear that, yes? So there'll be no condemnation. Amen. And when I read it, you'll think, what is he going on about? But we have to dig deep into this verse. So well, I tell you what, let's read the start of 1 Thessalonians 2. And we'll read down to chapter 12, maybe. For yourself, brethren, know our interest in unto you, that it was not in vain. But even after that we had suffered before, we were shamefully entreated, as you know, at Philippi. We were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. For our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile. But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we taught. I've lost it. Where am I? Even as we speak, that's it. Not as pleasing men, but God which trieth our hearts. For neither at any time use we flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak of covetousness, God is witness. Nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. Remember that word, cherisheth? It's like a bird sitting on, brooding on the eggs. Love that. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because you were dear unto us. For you remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you. We preached unto you the gospel of God. Ye are witnesses, and God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe. That's going to be a good verse next week. I've started pondering that one already. Next week's going to be good. As you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, as a father doth his children, that ye would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. Amen. Verse 9 is what I want to focus on this morning. For ye remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you, we preach unto you the gospel of God. This is a challenging verse that should get us all thinking. Thinking about the relationship between those ministering and those being ministered to. That's where it can, might get a little bit ouchy, because it could get a little bit personal here, because we're talking about the relationship between the minister and those being ministered to. And there are challenges on both sides. There's challenges on both entities in this verse. There's a challenge for saints, or the fellowship, as it were, and a challenge for the minister. So this verse is talking about all of us today, and it's appropriate for every single one of us. And in our case, talking specifically about the relationship between a pastor and the fellowship. But it's relevant to any ministry. Any ministry relationship we have. Now, you might be thinking, well, I'm not in ministry. You are. You might not have an official ministry website. You might not call yourself Pastor Vic or whatever. But you're in ministry, even though you don't have an official ministry title. Every time you come into contact with a human being, you're in ministry. And there's where the trouble starts. Human beings. Hallelujah. So, yeah, in our case, specifically pastor fellowship, but it's any form of ministry. And it's an even more interesting and challenging verse, because it's talking about money.
Really?
Yes. It's talking about money in the context of ministry and secular employment. So this is a really interesting verse, especially for myself, who's actually living through this at the moment. But it's a useful verse for saints as well, because it is considering about what saints do with their finances. So there we've got two potentially sticky situations. I'm going to talk about our relationship, and I'm going to talk about finances. You know, two things that can cause issues. So what's this verse saying? Okay, who's this book written to? Thessalonians. Who were they? Believers, saints. So who's this written to? Us. Well done. For ye remember. This is a letter written to saints. It's a new covenant letter written to saints. So it's applicable for us to follow. You know, I keep telling you, not everything in this book is literally for you to take. That didn't come out right. Cut. Not everything in this book is for you to take literally. Yes? You know, there's a difference between Old Covenant and New Covenant. I'm looking around here. This is an old sermon, but there's not many people with one eye and a hook. So we don't all take some of the things in the Old Covenant literally. I'm sure that there's a people with different types of material in their clothes. Are they all single clothes, single thread clothes today? No? You mixing cotton and stuff and whatever? Yeah. Ladies, men, you cut your hair, you left your hair long, all these kind of things. You know, we don't, I'm never sure what it's supposed to be, whether I'm supposed to have my hair long or short. I'm kind of hoping it's short. But then I'm not covered by the Old Covenant, so it doesn't matter. So there are things in here that we don't take literally. But what do we take literally? New Covenant epistles. So this is written to you and for you. Sorry. This is written to us and for us. I must be careful not to say you and point in this message. Okay. So it's written to the saints. For ye remember, that Greek word means to rehearse, to go over, to be actively mindful of. So what is coming, you need to be actively mindful of. You need to be thinking about, pondering, not feeling condemned about, not getting too over-focused, but you need to be thinking about what's coming. You need to be mindful of it. Also, the Greek has an implication of means to mention. So it could be that this is something that needs to be spoken about, discussed in the fellowship. So we need to remember something. We need to rehearse something. We need to be actively mindful about. We need to consider. So what are the saints to remember? What are they to be mindful of? The labor and travail of Paul. So this is Paul writing to the Thessalonians. For you remember, brethren, our labor and travail. And I will show you, in contrast to what the rest of the verse is talking about, the rest of the verse is talking about his secular work. This whole context is within his role of ministry, within his role as a minister. I mean, if you look at the end of the verse, we preach unto you the gospel of God. This is the context of ministry. And the whole chapter so far, the whole epistle so far has been about ministry. I've just told you, the teaching we're going through here is like a ministry, a manual for ministry. So the context of this verse is ministry. We see in a second, in the middle part of this verse, there's a little change when it goes to his secular work. But the context of what Paul is talking about and the start of this verse, the context is his ministry. So this is Paul talking to a fellowship that he's working with and loves. We've seen that already. And would do anything for. This is him talking to that fellowship as a minister. And it is a surprising and sobering statement. So Paul is saying, in my role of ministry, you remember, brethren, in my role in ministry, you remember our labor and travail. Oh, whoop-de-doo, yeah. So that the English doesn't really cut it here. Let's look at the Greek. The Greek word for labor is kopos. Means toil, by implication, pain and weariness. Travail is also a Greek word for toil, but this time, by implication, sadness. Paul's saying, I'm in pain, I'm weary, I'm sad. And this, my friends, is Paul talking about his experience in ministry. Now, that's quite a sobering, surprising thought. This is Paul saying, you remember my ministry, our team's ministry. You remember our labor and travail. You remember our pain, our weariness, our sadness. Paul's saying, you know this, and you're mindful of it. You remember it. Now, Paul and his team were successful. Yes. You know, Paul must be the most successful minister this side of the cross. To the gospel, to the known world. Him and his team were successful. We've seen that. But what he's saying is, it was not all sweetness and light. Paul is saying we had difficulties. I mean, we read that at the start of chapter 2. We'd suffered before. We were shamefully entreated. We had to preach the gospel with contention. You know, it's hard going. Caused some sadness, weariness, and pain. He's saying, they remember this. And what's he saying? He's saying to us, he's saying, please remember. What Paul's saying to the Thessalonians is, you were mindful. In a sense, you didn't neglect us. You didn't think it was easy, the ministry. You know that. And that's a lesson we all need to listen to. We all have people that minister to us. You know, I have people that minister to me. You have other people that minister to you out with this fellowship. Me and Soph and Nancy are ministering to the fellowship. We all have people to minister, that minister to us. This is saying we need to be mindful that sometimes they're going to be weary, they're going to be sad, and they're going to be in pain. Now, hear my heart. I'm not looking for sympathy here. This is not a woe is me sermon. I love being in the ministry. It's what the Lord called me to be. I spoke about, this is now 8 years since I left full-time other work to concentrate more on the ministry. It's what I am created to do. But as well as you guys realizing that I'm not perfect, now you all know that. Yeah. Hey, don't you smile that wide, Sam? You know, you all realize I'm not perfect. I need you to be aware, too, that for me, it's not all sweetness and light. It was the experience of Jesus. Jesus didn't exactly sail through his ministry, did he? You know, the disciples and apostles didn't exactly sail through their ministry. I'm kind of hoping that I'm not going to be crucified upside down. You know, we're not in the same kind of league as these guys. But it was the experience of Jesus, the experience of his disciples, the experience of Paul, and it will be the experience of ministers today. Ministers are not immune to sadness, pain, and weariness in and from their ministry. They've got their most ministry, but I would suggest all ministry. All ministry involves other people and involves relationships. And there lies the issue. There lies the issue. That in relationships and with other people, there can and will be sadness, pain, and weariness. But it's worth it. Don't hear that I'm just having a moan here and a gripe. And you might say, but Vic, how can you say this is ministry? Surely Paul is just talking about his secular work, because you'll see in a moment we start talking about the work he does out with the ministry. Surely it's a secular work that's bringing him pain and sadness and weariness. It must be making all those tents that's bringing these things into his life. No, the context is ministry. Before it, the end of the verse, after it, ministry. That's what he's talking about. Yes, he talks a little bit about his tent making here, but there's a purpose for that. And the Greek words are different. See, this says, for you remember, brethren, our labor and travail. Labor, toil, as in pain and weariness, or is it sadness? One, two of the three. Toil, travail is the other one. For laboring night and day. That's a different word. It's the same word in English, labor, laboring. Completely different in the Greek. This word for laboring night and day is the Greek word ergazomi, where we get the word ergonomics from. Study of work. This means to toil as in a task or occupation being engaged in. So in this context, Paul, the task was making tents. His occupation was a tent maker. He was engaged in making tents. That's what this means. For me, it's about consultancy and teaching. But for Paul, it's making tents. So this labor and travail, the negative connotations, the pain, the sadness, the weariness, that is about his ministry. And all ministers go through that. I said, you know, I'm not trying to get sympathy here. I'm trying to teach what the Word of God says. And teaching to the best of my ability and understanding, I cannot skip this verse. I mean, I jokingly used to skip the verse where it says, you're not allowed to wind up your kids. Yeah, I just kind of pushed that one away, but that was just jokingly. So I can't ignore this verse when I'm sitting and studying it and thinking, I need to tell the guys that there are times I'm in pain, I'm weary, I'm sad. And my friends, it's every minister. That's just what the Word says. It's the experience of many, many ministers. You know, go and look up the stats. Don't believe me for it. The stats for ministers burning out, closing ministries, getting depression, leaving the ministry is bigger than chartered engineers, solicitors, whiskey teachers, carers, seamstress. You know, it's bigger. I have a network of ministers I speak to. I spoke to a minister friend just yesterday about this. And it is the experience I've got of many of us. It's the experience of all of us. The work of the ministry is rewarding and wonderful, of course. We see people progress. We see people change. We see people falling in love with the Word and having their lives turned around. We see healings. We see prosperity. It's a wonderful vocation. It's a calling from God. But it can, and it does, bring pain, sadness, and weariness. So what is Paul saying? Well, I now speak to the church as a body. I speak to the church as a whole, not just speaking to MGF here. I'm speaking to every one of us that look to ministers and have people that minister to us. Do not be neglectful of those that minister to us. Do not take those that minister to us for granted. One day they may not be here. Well, no, let me rephrase that. One day they will not be here. Now, that's not me saying we are leaving. That's not me preempting, you know, next week when I tell you I'm leaving. That's not on the agenda at the moment. You know me, I'm here until I'm told to go there. And I ain't been told to go there yet. It could happen tomorrow, but probably not. But yeah, don't take ministers for granted. Don't disrespect those who minister to you. Be mindful of them and be mindful of what they're going through. It's kind of, we should be that with everybody we're in a relationship with. But this is quite specific. This is talking about ministers and ministered to. You know, we should be considering everybody that we're in a relationship to, be mindful of them. What are they going through? But this is quite specific. Paul's kind of saying, don't neglect those who minister to you. Don't take them for granted. Don't disrespect them. Be mindful of them. In fact, I would go so far as to say we need to do the opposite. We need to think, what can I do to minimize their pain? What can I do to minimize their sadness and their weariness? You know, we could say that for any relationship, but again, this is specific. What can I do to minimize that labor and travail? Yes, ministers are there to help and minister. That's why they're called ministers, because we're here to minister. But it's like we need to be careful not to overload them. Definitely not expect perfection. Hallelujah. Be mindful of our ministers, okay? Well, enough about you. What about me? Because this verse has got two parts to it. What about those who are ministering? What about the ministers? What's their challenge in this verse? Well, we'll see. It's not to be a burden upon those they minister to. The word here says not to be chargeable. That means not to be a burden upon. Specifically, this is where we get in a touchy topic maybe for some of my other ministers who may watch this. This is specifically talking about the context of finances and resources. Ministers are not to be a burden financially on those that they minister to. And yeah, why not? I'm going to be controversial here. I quite often am. Others listening may disagree. That's okay. Let's have a discussion about it. I do not see full-time clergy modelled under the new covenant. Now, that's quite a controversial statement because there are so many. But, you know, we have this phrase in the church, if you're doing a job, there's this phrase, when are you going into full-time ministry? I used to love John Donnelly's answer when he was a builder. I'm already a full-time minister. And this was him speaking to Andrew Womack. When are you going to be a full-time minister? I already am a full-time minister. But I do not see, on my understanding, I'm open to challenge and open to discussion. I don't see full-time paid by the church clergy modelled under the new covenant. I see the Pauls, the Priscillas, the Aquilas, the Lydias, others. Ministers who work jobs. Ministers who work jobs. Look at Acts 18. It's actually where Stuart finished. I was going to say, just carry on, because I'm going to be reading the next three verses anyway. Acts 18, verse 1. After these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome, and came unto them. And because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought, for by their occupation they were tent makers. Oh, and then, by the way, he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. He worked and did ministry. He worked and did ministry. Priscilla, Aquila, the same. I've mentioned them before. They had a church in their house. They led a house church. They were ministers, but they worked. They were tent makers as well. Priscilla, Aquila, Paul, all ministers of the gospel, all working in the ministry, and all making tents. Now, I could be missing something. I've just been pondering this. It's really become strong in me this week. I've not studied this out fully. But the examples that I am currently looking at of ministers in the gospel work. And why do they do work? Well, look at verse 9 again. He says, I need to go to Thessalonians. He says, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you. I work so I am not a financial burden to you. That is what he's saying. The Greek word is epibario, means to be heavy upon, to be expensive to. Talking about finances. Paul is saying he should not, and therefore any minister, I believe, should not be a financial burden on their fellowship or the church or the saints in general. But Vic, are we not supposed to provide for those who minister to us? You take a salary from the church. We give offerings, you take a salary. Yes, I do. There are individuals within this church who also give to me directly. Yes, they do. Is Paul against that? No. That is good biblical practice. Providing financially for those that feed you. Feed you spiritually. 1 Corinthians 9:12, Galatians 6:6, Philippians 6:16. All these verses indicate we should help financially those who feed us spiritually. We should give to those who minister to us. Paul is saying that is good, that is biblical, but not when it gets to be a burden for the saints. Not when it gets to be a burden for the church. Not when it's a burden for a fellowship. But Paul spoke of this to the church in Corinth as well. You know, for the sake of time, read 1 Corinthians 9, 15 to 18 at your leisure. He says the same to Corinth. And it's translated as burdensome. I don't want to be burdensome to you. He did not want to be chargeable to them. Now, a couple of examples. I'm not going to name names. Well, not in the first one. But I remember once hearing a quite prominent worship leader at the time. He'd been in the area and whatever, and I'd seen him. Thought, that's really good. I really like that. I wonder if we could get him along to MGF. So I went on his website and I saw his fee. Thought, no way. I could not and I would not pay that fee. Why? Because that was so expensive, it would have been burdensome on the fellowship. It would have been too much. So we didn't have that. And then the other example, Brother Paul. It's his fifth time with us. Comes all the way from Singapore. Travels around the Philippines, Cambodia, Vietnam, Australia, ministering. Never once asked for an offering. Never once asked for money. He doesn't ask for a fee anywhere. Now, he'll accept offerings eventually. We had a little bit of a baffle on Tuesday morning as he was getting ready to go. He thought he'd won because he said he couldn't accept the check that I'd written to him because he had no way of depositing it. Like, but I had cash. So I won. But he didn't want it. Didn't want to be a burden. Number of times I had to stop him from paying for things when he was here. And he kept saying, oh, but my wife said I should pay that. And I said, yeah, my wife said you don't have to pay, and my wife's here. So I said, so cut me some slack. But never a burden. Never, ever a burden. And he's kind of living out that. Let's be completely open and honest here. If I were to take a recognized hourly rate for the hours I work in the church, I would be chargeable to you. I would be a burden. You couldn't afford it. Well, you could, but there'd be no orphans and widows fed in India. It would all come to me. But I'm not a burden. I'm not chargeable to you. Why? Because I make tents. Metaphor. I think it would be an absolute disaster if I tried to make a tent, but there you go. Yeah, my wife would make tents. But metaphorically speaking, I make tents. Why? So I can fund my expenses. I can provide the house and feed myself and my family. Yes, I receive offerings. Hallelujah. Thank you. That makes it easier. It's great. And that's biblical. I receive offerings from a number of people. I take a salary from the church. That is biblical. But it's not to the extent that it's a financial burden on the fellowship. That's what Paul is talking about here. Paul says he labors night and day. Now, that is a picture. It doesn't mean he works 24 hours a day. That would be silly. Because there'd be no time for ministry. Because I'm sure you know, but there's only 24 hours in a day. There's only night and day. Paul's saying, I work night and day. No, what Paul is saying is that I work continually and regularly. That's kind of, you know, he probably works every day, a little bit every day. He's got regular employment. He works regularly. That's what he's saying. What Paul's saying is, my work, my occupation is a major part of my life. He probably would say it's part of his ministry. Because I'm sure when he's making tents, what's all he going to be speaking about? The word, the Lord. That's what he's going to be doing. He's still going to be ministering while he's working. Paul accepted offerings, yes, we know that. I regularly use Philippians 6, 15 and 16 for our offerings. The church communicated with them. Philippians 4, 15 and 16? I just saw my beloved mouthing to me. Yeah, because there's only four. There is no Philippians 5 and 6. Philippians 4, 15 and 16. Churches were communicating with him, partnering, giving him finances. But the offerings were not burdensome, not financially burdensome on the saints. And he never demanded. He never expected anything from the saints. There's nothing that turns me off a ministry more is when you're just there and it's you need to tithe. You need to give us your offerings. We need to collect £5,000 this morning. Bugs me that. But that's my own personal thing. He never demanded, never expected anything from the saints. Never expected, get this, never expected all his income from the saints. I think that's what's important. Never expected all his income from the saints. So he worked. He had gainful employment that generated income streams. Now that's my thing. Employment to generate income streams. And I see that as a model for ministry under the new covenant. Now, a number of people are probably going to object to that. Okay, so what's the summary of this wee verse this morning? And let's make it personal. Let's make it MGF, where myself and Nunzi are ministering to you guys. And there are other people ministering, I get that, but official ministry, pastors. So what's the summary? You need to be mindful. Sorry. Put my pointy fingers away. You need to be mindful of what we are going through in ministry. And we cannot be a burden on you while we teach the good news. Because the end of this verse, the culmination of it, Paul says, we preached unto you the gospel of God. So we need to be accountable to each other. We need to continually preach the good news. And we cannot be a burden on you. But we would ask that you are mindful of what we're going through sometimes in ministry. That's what Paul's getting at. Does that sound like a deal? Amen. One amen. Thank you. And a nod. Hallelujah. Something we can all get behind, I think. Because I really see this as the model for new covenant ministry. When we're talking about the local church and the official ministries, it is being rewarded for feeding the flock, but also generating your own income so you're not a burden for the fellowship. And that worked really well for Paul, so it can work for us. Amen.